Talk about this. Let's just do it again. The kinos, generally, there are 45 kinot in our tradition of Nusuch Ashkenaz. Kinos is something very personal. There are a lot of kihilos, and every kihila has a different set of kinos. Here in our community, Art School has standardized the kinos for us, and Art School presents 45 kinos. They've numbered them. That was a very bold move to put numbers on the kinos. It makes it a lot easier for us to know what we're referring to, because we're not all at all familiar with the kinos. We have 45 now. If you'll go look in the article kinos, you'll see it says 46. How could they do that? It's a chiddush for them to put the number 46 at the very end. The reason why I say they're only 45 and not 46 is because that last kinah they refer to as 46 is a repeat. So let me turn the page to show you. If you look at the art scroll, it goes to Tzion, that's 44. Okay, then they have the kinahs for the Kedoshim. Okay, and then they have 45 on page 390. 390 is Memhe is 45.
Right.
And then, keep on going, page 394, Shoimrod. They put a number 46. That's a chiddush. That, I think, is a tremendous chiddush to put that as a number 46. Why? It's a very bold move. I'm actually very surprised, because 46 is exactly the same thing as, go back to the night kinnis. The night kinnis is 4, I think it's 4. Kina number 4 is the same exact kina. Aleph, Beis, Gimel. Exactly, word for word. There's not even one difference between the two. It's the same exact kina. We'll talk about it in a few moments. Number Dalet. Okay, so kina Dalet is identical to kina Mem Vav. So it's not fair. You can't call them 46 kinos when there are really only 45 kinos. Okay, so hey. I'm not, believe me, honestly, they did an incredible favor for us. Their kinos are like the gold standard, especially the interlinear. Interlinear is gold. Interlinear, I couldn't get through one word without the interlinear kinos. The art scroll interlinear kinos, one word at a time, they translate everything, they have a very nice commentary. It's the same commentary. The commentary of the interlinear is exactly the same thing they took from the standard kinos, and they number everything. And they conclude with number 46. In between, before you come to number 46, they have a collection of kinos for the Shoah. Okay, they have I think, a whole collection. It depends on your edition. Over the years, I think they've added more kinos. The
commentary is exactly the same also.
No, the commentary is exactly the same. Here, the one that I'm holding my hand.
Show
what?
I mean, that's the way I was thinking about
it. I guess they feel it's so good.
Circle, we begin with, so to speak, at 9 a.m. Okay.
Right, but
full circle. Why is it repeated 4 and 46?
Awesome. I want to tell you an idea. I want to tell you an idea in a moment why. It's one of us to present the layout. Now, over here in the art school, they have after 44, they the one that I'm holding, they have a kina from the Baba Varebi, Zecher Tzak Levracha, of Shloima. And the Shabbos is your Tzav? It's Peh Shabbos. Shabbos. And then they have from Shimon Schwab. Shimon Schwab is a very famous kina. It's a very famous. A lot of places they recite. They only have two. I think in some of the other editions of the art scroll, I think actually in the interlinear they have more. They have other compositions that were written by other great contemporary Gedolei Yisrael for the Holocaust. And in general, there's a very big debate amongst the Gedolei Yisrael if you should add new compositions for the Holocaust. There's a big debate. Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik was very against it. I mean, it's written all over the place. He held no. He, by the way, was one of the big, the very big darshanim on Tisha B'Av. People would travel from all over the country to be with him on Tisha B'Av. He would darshan the entire day. Me'ashmoides HaBoiker Ad HaErev in Massachusetts, not exactly Massachusetts. What's the name of the place? There's a little city out, not in Boston. There's a little place, a little vacation. Anset. Anset. My nephews, they went to camp. They actually had a camp in that Beis Medrash. That's where they davened and learned every day. Anset, in the place where Rav Yoshua Ber every year, for decades, probably maybe 20 years, he would darshan, and people would actually, it became such a thing to be there when he spoke and he elaborated on the kinos and on in general on Tisha B'Av. People they flew in from all over the country to be there in Anset to spend with him the entire Tisha B'Av. Then they started recording it, and one of his prize Talmidim, Rav J.J. Schachter, he wrote a fantastic book, I have it at home somewhere, where he took all of his ideas and he presented it as topics. He didn't arrange his ideas according to the kinos. Later, more recently, about 5-6 years ago, Korain, they took basically his book. It's basically word for word. It's like a mamish word. They just copied and pasted what he wrote in his book, and they arranged it. They arranged what he wrote on the kinos, and they had a new translation. Rabbi Weinreb from the OU, he provided a new translation. There was a third person who the hakdama to each kina, he explained the background. Who was the author? Who and how is it arranged? Like all these very technical stuff. That stuff I can't handle that stuff. It's way over my head. The aleph base, forwards, backwards, how it corresponds to the Psukim and Eicha, this parak, that parak, back and forth. There's all these very sophisticated mathematical calculations of how all the words are arranged. You have to have a certain mind for this. I'm totally lost. But when Korain published the kinos, it was really three parts. It was the commentary, which by and large was lifted from Rav J.J. Schachter's book, which he wrote years ago, which was basically a summary of everything that he can get his hands on from the tapes, from the recordings of Rav Yoshua Ber in Anset, all the years that he spoke. That's the commentary. The translation was new. It was done by Rav Weinreb from the OU. And the third edition was the introduction to each of the kinos, as to who composed the kina and the style of the kina, the meter and this order of the aleph is that order, the chulu. It's very interesting, but you need a map and you need a very good mind to really understand that it was composed by somebody else. And probably with someone who wrote an introduction, so it's a masterpiece. It's really, I spent a lot of time on that years ago, going through the Korain kinos. It's an absolute masterpiece. I like the book even better though. J.J. Schachter's book I found to be really good. It's the same thing, really, just arranged differently. And I really, the book, I thought it was unbelievable. You see, they just copy and paste. It's almost funny sometimes. But that's where it comes. So how do we get into that? I don't even remember where we got.
What is the book and what are the two things that
you can use? Rabbi J.J. Schachter, he was present, he was or wasn't present, I don't know, but he had access. No, not Rav Schachter, different Rabbi J.J. Schachter. J.J. Schachter, not the same person.
Rabbi Herschel Schachter's son. Rabbi Herschel Schachter's son. Rabbi Herschel Schachter.
No.
From Mashalu Parkway, his father was Rabbi Herschel Schachter.
Right. Rabbi Herschel Schachter, don't confuse with there's today.
The rabbi of Buchenwald.
Right. He was a chaplain. Right. He was a chaplain. His son, his name is they call him J.J. Yaakov. I don't know what the second J is. Yaakov.
Usually it tells that you have Yaakov.
Yaakov Schachter. He was the Rav in the Jewish center for many years. He's a very big Talmud Chacham, he's a very well-respected person. He's a professor now in Yeshiva University. He's a very chashuv person. He took, years ago, all of the recordings of Rav Yoshua Ber Soloveitchik's lectures, or shiurim, in Boston, and he compiled them, he listened to them, and he wrote, he transcribed them, edited the lectures, and produced a magnificent sefer. I don't know what the sefer is called. It's hard to get. It's not so easy to get. It's not easy to get the sefer, which presents everything that Rav Yoshe Ber ever said on Tisha B'Av and onset, relating to Tisha B'Av, not just the kinas, because half of the day he didn't say he actually give shiur. He didn't only speak about the kinas. He spoke about the kinas and he spoke all in general about Tisha B'Av. All of those shiurim were presented be'oifan mechudar, in a beautiful way, in a sefer that was published by, I think it's Ketav was the publisher, and he was the editor, the author, the editor, whatever you want to call it. He put it together. Years later, Korain Publishing Company, whatever they're called, they joined with YU, with the OU, and they put out a series of Sefarim. They still do. Every day they put out something new. But they put out then Sidurim, Chumashim, and they published a magnificent Sefer, Kinos for Tisha B'Av. And it has the whole davening, and it has Eicha, and it also has, basically, Rabbi Herschel Schechter's Sefer was used as 90% of the source material for the commentary on the Kinos. J.J. Schechter. J.J. Schechter's Sefer is basically was taken and rearranged, all of the material was extracted, and positioned after each in the Kinos as commentary for the Kinos. In addition, they translated the Kinos with a new translation, and they also provide another author, an entirely different person, mm-hmm. He wrote a very sophisticated introduction to many of the Kinos. And there must be, I'm sure, a very nice introduction by somebody, probably from someone from the OU, and they produced a magnificent Kinos. Now, by the way, that keynote, to credit to the Korain, is exactly the same number system as the Art Scroll. That was a brilliant idea, not to deviate from Art Scroll, because it would just create more confusion. There's another edition called the Goldschmidt edition. Before Art Scroll came along, and before Korain came along, and before all these other people came along, there was another critical edition. It's called Goldschmidt.
That's from England?
I don't know where he's from. So either you had a choice back in the day, goes back 100 years, either you can buy the papers, what are they called, where it's just a running comment and just flowing letters. We all remember what this is. You go, you pick one of those things up from 100 years ago, and it's ripped because it's been lying in the bottom of the beamer for the whole year. And where does the keen end? The kina ends when the letters become a different size. That was the degree of what that was your choice. Either you use that, those paper booklets, or it came out at some point in time an edition called the Goldschmidt. It's small, it's not so big, but it's incredible. It's really, really an awesome piece of work, the Goldschmidt. I don't know who this person was, he must be a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And basically every single word in the kina on the bottom in the footnotes, it tells you the pasuk, where that was lifted from, better than the Art Scroll. There's no question Art Scroll used the Goldschmidt. When Art Scroll came along and they put together this, which has on the bottom all of the Maror Mekoymos, it tells you where every single pasuk comes from. You're not gonna convince me they didn't go look in the Goldschmidt and just, whatever it said in the Goldschmidt, they put in the Art Scroll. Cannot possibly be. And they probably left out half of them. It's a major, major work. The Goldschmidt edition is very, very impressive. Now, here's the thing. The Goldschmidt edition, the order is not the same. In the Goldschmidt edition, the order of the kinos is not the same order as what's in the Art Scroll. And I believe there's also numbers in the Goldschmidt edition. The paper edition doesn't have any numbers. The paper edition, that was very, very common by everyone, it's really all you had was the papers, had no numbers. It just had a flow of letters, and you knew you got to the next kina when you saw the letters change in size. There were no numbers, but it was very, very standard. And there were a lot of mistakes in that one. And the order was not necessarily the correct order. The Goldschmidt edition was very accurate, and the order of the kinos was different. And he also put numbers in his kina. When Art Scroll Revolution, when they came along and they made their kina, they followed the paper edition, the paperlach. They followed that to the T, and they gave it numbers, and those numbers are not consistent with the Goldschmidt. So if you say, okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we're now going to be doing kina Yud Zayin. So if you had people in the audience that had the Goldschmidt, and 45% had the Art Scroll, and you said kina Yud Zayin, they were looking at a different kina, because the Art Scroll Yud Zayin is not the same Yud Zayin in the Goldschmidt edition. Korain, Baruch Hashem, they use the same numbering system as the Art Scroll in order to reduce the confusion. Now, I actually have a new kina. I got this year a new kina. I go to a website called SvarimChatter.com. It's really a Twitter feed. It's where they have all the new Svarim. Anything that's new, he doesn't have everything. He has a selection of new things. I was very intrigued where I saw this. I saw this new kina. It's very hard to get new kina. It's Kinois Kolboy HaMivu'ar. Okay, there's another very good kina, another very popular kina that's really, really good. I forgot what it's called already. But this is brand, hot off the press. It's very nice. It's light. It's not, I don't need the Hagdama. The Perush, they have a Perush, a running commentary. I couldn't do this. Listen, I'm not coming to minimize anything. It's light. It's not a very heavy. I thought from looking online, I thought it would be a much more significant product.
It's easy reading.
It's very light. It has some midrash. It doesn't have all that much. It does have the very long Hagdama, which I didn't read. I'm very curious. It has some nice things. One thing it has some very, very nice. This no one has. This is worth the whole thing just for this. Is the very end. They have all of the mishmaros. This you can't find anywhere. The Chaf Dalid Mishmaros Kohanim, and he shows you Kina Vav and Kina Yud. He shows you the code words. We'll go through this a little bit later. The code words, and he tells you where they actually lived, and he tells you the name in the Gemara. So basically, he shows you a relation for each Mishmar. He did the research. Whoever did this, he did the research. Four different referrals to the same exact Mishmar. Like Yehoyarif. The name of the Mishmar in the Gemara was called Yehoyarif. In, where do they live? Meron. This Mishmar lived in Meron. Okay, they lived in Meron. And by Rashbi. Okay, so you want to go learn by Rashbi, go. Every time you find a reference to Yehoyarif, that is, they lived with Rash in Meiro. The Kohanim, how could they be Metame? Obviously, it doesn't mean they live Mamash Rai's Kevin, it means they live on the outside Meiro. And in Kina Vav, it's referred to as Pamei Miroin, and in Kina Yud, it's Misorve Moroin. Then he has some other things over here. I Kina the Hadrash. This piece of paper over here, the last page of this Kina, is worth the price of the entire thing. I always wanted to find something like this to have some clarity in this. So in the Kineis Kolbo, sometimes you have even one page that makes the whole thing worth everything. And that last page, not even one page, is worth everything. He has other things that also make it worth all the money. He has also the Kina Vav, which we'll talk about, is really a Kravitz. So he has the entire Kravitz, which is fantastic. And shocking that Art School does not have the entire Kina Vav. Why they couldn't put in a few of the Kravitz in the back. I don't understand what they were thinking, why they didn't do that. And he has also all of the corrections. It's fascinating. All the corrections that are missing. There are a lot of mistakes in our Kinas. Sensor or just stam. Kinas was never a big thing. So where did Art School get their nusach from? They went to the bottom of the bima and they saw some soft covered photocopied kina lying in the bottom of the bima. What else do they have to work with? And they took that and they made their kinais. You have to do enormous research, which I don't even know if Arshel had access to in their time. Now with all the new technology and Yitzhak Chachma and this and that, there's a whole new world available. If Arshel would do the kinais today, they would do totally different. No question about it. Maybe they'll do an upgrade. They'll do a new edition. They'll fix it up maybe one day. I don't know. It's not a big seller kinais. You know, Tisha B'Av is not exactly a very popular holiday. don't know if it's worth it for them. But if they'll be doing it today for the very first time, it's an enormous amount of money. It's costing millions of dollars in time, effort, you know, hiring a whole team of people. You have to have people, experts in these things. It takes, it's not a simple thing to do. And when they did this 20 years ago, what did they have access to? There was no Eitzra Chachma. And you know, time, no, everything is time, and you know, they did a phenomenal job. No one can deny them what they did. But today they would probably do it a lot different. And another big thing about this, which is Bruch, that's the only reason I got to this conversation, is because he has here the real order of the kinos. And this is fascinating. Really, really fascinating, where he shows you from the Mesoira what is the real order. A lot of our kinos are not in order. Some of them is clearly like there are two kinos that are reversed, and the goal is every kino is supposed to lead into the next kino. Every kino directly leads into the next kino. Some of them you can see obviously they're out of order, and some of them the reason why they're out of order is because you're missing the last line. And here he has the original version with all the tikkunim, what the last line of the kina is. Oh, now that's the last line, now I understand why next kina should be this kina, not that kina. So this sefer, every sefer has its high points, and this has quite a bit of high points. I didn't get to read the hakdama. It looks like it's phenomenal, long hakdama. Who knows what's going to get out of here? Treasures. The commentary is good. I couldn't even write one line. They have a very nice commentary with a nice collection of midrashim on the bottom. There are other things today that are much more elaborate than that, but no one has what they have over here. They have Ki Novav in its entirety, they have the correct order, and they have all the hashlamas. You see, hashlamas lekinas, all of the mistakes, and the correct order of what it really should be. They have Medrash Eila Eskra, which is very good because it's hard to find that sometimes. And they have halachas, and especially the last page is really a masterpiece. This chart of going, showing you the Yudchav Beis Mishmars. Now, we got into this discussion is because of the order. By the way, you see the controversy. The number system, or what am I saying? The number system. What number system did they use? They use the art scroll number system. You see, they're practical. They're very practical. They follow the art scroll number system. When the rabbi says kina vav, it's the same kina vav in the art scroll as it is in this kinois kol boy. This is only because of art scroll. The only reason why he's using the number system vav, zayin ches tes, only because art scroll dominated and they set the standard. The Korain edition follow the art scroll numbering system, and they also follow the art scroll numbering system. That's amazing. It's amazing how Klal Yisrael, there's a consensus today. Goldschmidt edition, you get confused. No one really uses the Goldschmidt edition. You don't see it around anymore. It's a collector's item, the Goldschmidt edition. But all of the new kinas that are being published that have numbers, they all follow one numbering system, which concludes with kina mem vav. I'm curious over here, do they have shemon mem vav? Let's see if we do that. I'm very curious to see what he did for the last kina. The last kina over here is Ashrei Terachim Shema Mem Vav. He does the same thing. He commits the same crime. You see that? The same crime. He has Mem Vav. I'm very surprised because it's not only Mem Vav. It's really the same as Dalit. Why am I telling you all this? The number Mem Hei is sacred. The number Mem Hei is a sacred number. Why is it sacred? Yeah. Why? There are a lot of Memheis. Memhei is all over the place. Tisha B'Av, it's particularly sacred because Tisha B'Av is the fulfillment of the Toichecha. The Toichecha in Torah's Kohanim, in Parshas Bichu Kosai. How many Klolois are there in the Toichecha in Parshas Bichu Kosai? 45. There are 45 Klolois. Okay, the Balaturim writes the Beferish. He has a whole drush on this. There are 45 klolois in the Teichecha. The Churban Beis Hamikdash was a fulfillment of Hashem's warning. Hashem is telling us, don't play games with me. If I tell you not to do something, I tell you don't misbehave, there's consequences. There's a Teichecha. It's going to happen. Don't test me. And we tested Hashem, and we suffered the consequences. The Teichecha was fulfilled. The Teichecha of Torah's Kehanim was fulfilled. And therefore, we have precisely 45 kinos. The 45 kinos is, on the one hand, a vidui, to acknowledge that Hashem, you have punished us, we're getting what we deserve. And mitzad sheni, it's also, it's a nechama for each one of the klalos. And it's also an attempt to be mahapech kilolo levracha. So we're doing many, many things in the kinos. We're attempting to be misvade. We acknowledge what we've done wrong. We're attempting to find nechama. And we're attempting to mahapech kilolo levracha. So therefore, it's 45. It's 45. Zeh lumazeh. Bal toisef, bal tigra. Don't mess with the numbers. Okay, that's why I'm very surprised why they put 45, 46. It's not 46, it's a repeat. It's a repeat of what it says of the Shomer. Now I'll get to why we repeat it twice in a second. I did why we repeat it twice. But it's Kina Dalet. So don't put a number on it. And you should know the number system seems to be so sacred. I feel that it was part of the reason, I can't tell you this is true at all, why many Gedolei Yisrael refused to recite unique, to make it part of the Seder of Davening, to recite Kinos for the Holocaust. Why are they, the Aryeh Scroll, everyone is politically correct. Okay, today you live in a world of political correctness, the Holocaust. Who's going to deny the Holocaust? I say the Kinos for the Holocaust. Who doesn't say that? Everyone I go to says the Kinos for the Holocaust. So all of the students are going to have Kinos for the Holocaust. But Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yosher Bar Soloveitchik, and many of the Gedolei Yisrael were not fans of adding more kinos to the service. You can say kinos the whole year. No one's denying you that you should reflect and think about it.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Moshe, Rav Yosher Bar, did not go through the Holocaust. They were in America.
No, Rav Yosher Bar did. Rav Yosher Bar, he writes, he saw everything. He writes there that he saw it in the Kinos, the commentary. He writes about his experiences, and he writes some very horrific things. I don't know exactly, but he writes things that are very frightening. What he writes, I don't know. I don't know the history. I don't know. But they many Gedolei Yisrael did not want to add why. So there are a lot of, it's a very complicated, very complicated topic.
You start looking at the list of the people who were. And you see that the ones who...
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I don't know. I hear. There's definitely truth to that. There's no question about it. But there's another element is that the kinos, read the kinos. The kinos are the Holocaust. The Holocaust, you're not going to outdo what it says in the kinos. You can pick any kina you want, and you can just think about the Holocaust. Everything it says there in the kina, you're reliving the Holocaust. Just read about the Crusades. Read about, there are four kinas in the first Crusades. If someone would tell you, or someone today composed that kina for the Holocaust, you wouldn't flinch. You would say, everything of the Holocaust is right there. It makes a difference, the first Crusade, the Holocaust, Chmelnytsky massacres, the expulsions, it makes it the pogroms, blood libels, it's all the same. Read the words. The words that it says about the first Crusade, if you would not know, you would mamish think you're talking about the Holocaust. It is literally all the same. These kinos were composed by very holy people. Rulaza HaKalir, we don't even know when he lived, but he lived before the Rishonim, the Goinim, at least during the time of the Goinim, Rabbanan Savaroi, before the Rishonim. Rashi quotes him. So Rashi was from the early Rishonim, so he had to live before Rashi. So we had to live probably during the time of the Goinim, or maybe even earlier, or maybe right before Rashi, whatever it is. These are very holy people. They wrote very powerful things. The kinos for the first Crusade were written by the Rishonim. These are very, if you close your eyes, any kavana you want, anything you want to reflect regarding, even talk about the building collapse in Miami. Close your eyes, read the kinos, it's all there. Everything is there. So they say that what I just told you, they say explicitly. But I also want to just add to the equation is, the number is sacred. The number 45 is koilel everything. There are 45 klalos in the Teichacha. The Teichacha is nevuah. It's all there. It's all there. You don't have to add more.
I think Rav Soloveitchik wrote on one of his things is that since all of the Tzoris emanates from Corbin.
Right, that's an idea, right. He was very tough. I mean, it's so explicit, his objection to composing new. You can compose new kinos. Nothing is wrong with that. But to add it to the Nusach HaTfilah, the minig is not like that. Kiman in all of the shuls throughout the entire world, kinos are said for the Holocaust at the end of kinos. That's a given. In the yeshivas, they don't. Many of the yeshivas, they do not say kinos for the Holocaust. But in the shuls, they all say. In all of the art school, all of the svarim, they have all the kinos for the Holocaust. But you have to appreciate the idea of why not. These are holy kinos. They were composed with al ruach hakodesh, with precision. In the words here, you don't need to add more. And I'm just adding to that again is, there's a number. There's a sacred number, 45. 45 is the toichacha. You don't have to add to the toichacha. We have enough toichacha. Unfortunately, there's already too much toichacha. And it's all in there. Okay, that just to discuss the number 45. Right, so today, you should know, it's a tremendous chiddush. It is, yes. It bothers me very much that. It is a tremendous chiddush today. It really is. It's like really a chayrasha that we don't, is kimat no shul today anymore that says all kinos. You say all of them?
Because we had a yeshiva, you know, the guys that we paid to come were all Kerbadas guys, and they wanted commentary. I spoke for like 3 to 4 hours.
Wow.
And we did every
single one. We said all kinos. We said all the kinos.
Every single one. I went through many years like that.
So,
everyone.
Look, in the Young Israel, my father was the rabbi, they said all the kinos. They had 2 minyanim, in fact.
Right.
They're the early, they said every
the
single one.
Names, minyan, and the regular.
They said all the kinos. Yeah. Today they no longer say the kinos. They say a selection. Today, any new shul, forget it. It's not even a half a minute to say all the kinos. The old shuls, so it's hard to break away from a minug. So there are definitely shuls that are still saying all the kinos.
It's like Rabbi Levine said before: feel good Judaism. Feel however you feel like.
But all the Gedolei Yisrael gave the haskam on this. The only place where they still say all the kinos are in the yeshivas. You go to a yeshiva, in the yeshivas they say all the kinos. Yeah?
I thought he said, first he said yes, then he said no, because he said his Rebbe was alive after the Holocaust, and his Rebbe knew all these people. He said he never said it, so he said we're not going to say it.
It's a different type of feeling. But today, it is a very big shock to me that this idea, if it's really true, this idea, you know, it goes both ways. If you hold that the kinos are sacred, there are 45 kinos, they're sacred. Don't add to the kinos. The same way, don't add to the kinos, don't subtract. Don't subtract. Say them all. Lo yisoysev lo yisigra. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. If you want to say that, oh, it's not sacred. It's not sacred. We're going to add. So you ready? If you're taking away the sacredness of the kinoi, so then it comes with. Okay, we don't have to say all the kinos. It is a very interesting phenomenon where it's extremely common today, by in the Haredi world. In Lakewood, I surrounded my brother in Lakewood. What do they do in Lakewood? So my brother in his shul, they're all B'nai Torah. They're real stark of B'nai Torah. Very chashuv people there. They don't say all the kinos. Selected kinos. They say select. The rabbi picks out a selected kinos, and he explains them, and he talks, and they say for a very long time, they say kinos all the way until, I don't know, maybe until Chatzos even. But they don't say them all. They don't say them all. To me, it's just amazing. To me, I'm not such a, you know, such a very, very ultra-religious person, but I'm surprised that in Klal Yisrael that this is acceptable. I just find it very surprising that it's acceptable that, okay, you know, we'll just say half the kinnis. Really? Is that really the right way to go? I guess kinnis, it's so difficult. It has to be that. I guess it's just so difficult. The words, to understand what it says. You need to spend weeks and months preparing to really understand, absorb, appreciate what it says. To say the words. Most have a hard time articulating the words. And it's Tisha B'Av, you're fasting. There's no coffee, right? There's no coffee. There's no entertainment. Or even though there's no, so exactly. So the practical consideration of it being hot day, you're sitting on the floor, it's very uncomfortable. You're sitting on the floor, you don't have coffee, and the air conditioning is not good enough. And I don't know what in the world I'm saying. This is Greek to me. And the rabbi can only explain that much. How long is our attention span? Go sit for 4 hours, 5 hours? It's just too much for the average person. So it became an ace la'asos la'Hashem. That's the way it is. I don't make the rules here. I'm just telling you what goes on. In the yeshiva, I still say, in Chaim Berlin, they say, to go many years to Chaim Berlin, they say from beginning to end, I was bored out of my mind there. I couldn't take it. And I remember in Kiyamara, same thing. Nachamol, you know, just the, oh, and they get up to Tzion, oh, Tzion, that means we're coming to the end now, and they get up to the Tzions. We're coming to the end. The Tzions are the hardest, Kinas, you should know. I can't understand even what it's, one word, we're going, you have to be a Boki Muflug in Tanakh, you have to be fluent, you have to appreciate Jewish history. There are so many things that come together to appreciate the Kinas, and obviously, we're casualties. We're casualties of kinois, and we've really done something which I really feel the kinois is sacred. 45 kinois, there's a hashkacha as to how they are arranged, even though the way they're arranged today is totally wrong. And even though we're missing chunks of the kinois, pieces of the kinois, as this sefer illustrates, and everything is all messed up. All right, so new, what else is new? So we're missing parts of the kinois. Asaru gemalchus. Really? Asaru gemalchus? I only count eight. How can you tell me there are Asaru Gemalchus when you read your kinos, there are only eight people mentioned? You've got to count? What's going on over here? You count 1 to 10. So how many people did you mention in the kina of Arze Halavanan? There are only eight people. What happened over here? Well, there's a line that's missing. Okay, even Artscroll didn't want to put it back inside. I don't know why. They all know what the line. We have the line, and the Koran put it back in some, but not the article for some reason. Maybe the attacker didn't know. They published the article 20 years ago. Maybe they didn't have access to it. They don't know. Whatever it is, everything is b'hashkacha. Hanach lohem li Yisrael im einam neviim b'nei neviim. There are 45 kinois. They are what they are. They're arranged in a bizarre way that seems to be out of order. Maybe it's by design. Also, let me ask you a question. And this I can't get an answer to. What in the world is Sha'ali Srufa Be'esh doing in the middle of the Tzions? There are 9 Tzions. At the end of Kinos, there are 9 Kinos that begin with Tzion. They all have the same theme. They all describe the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. They're all the same. They're all the same Mahalach. It's like a part 2 of Kinos to describe the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. And they're all from later Paitanim. How in the world did Sha'alis Shuva Be'esh, which takes us back to the 13th century, wind up in the middle of the 9 Tzions? What is going on over here? Okay, this seems to be totally like a printer's error. Like, oh, they just, you know, everything was photocopied, everything was, oh, they just flashed into the... Someone, it's like a page fell out from another kina, and they put it into the page, they close it, they put it under the bima, and next year, oh, Tisha B'Av is next week, can you go to the store, make some photocopies for the oilam? They opened it up, oh, someone, the page ripped out, got stuck in between the 9 tzions, oh, so we put the Shalei Srufa Be'esh in the middle of the 9 tzions. Does it make sense? You have any, what's going on? You want to make a drasha? Some person will come along and make a whole drasha to fataych why Shalei's Shufa Be'esh is in between these two tziyots. I'm sure it'll be a very good drasha. Some will get paid a lot of money to go up to a program and say over this very brilliant solution, but let's be realistic. It doesn't belong there. How did it get there? It's probably a printer's error. I don't know. It's bizarre. But listen, there's a hashkacha. Hanach lohem li Yisrael v'enam nevim b'nei nevim. The bottom line is, we have 45 kinais. It's a sacred number. There are 45 kolos in the teichacha. They're ordered in a way that's a little bit strange. the order is not exactly what we would expect. We definitely have now today, due to technology and new revelations, we actually have today lines and chunks of the kinois that were lost, and now when we put them back in where they belong, things begin to make sense, and we begin to see how they really should be structured. We begin to see a whole new brilliance to what the kinois are all about, and it's too late to reconstruct. Because if you're going to go, and ours is going to come out with a new version, and we do the order, they're going to be banned. Because it's already confusing as it is. Don't make it more confusing by rearranging the order and making all the corrections. It is what it is. It is what it is. It has taken on a life of itself. That's the Hashgacha. That's all part of Churban. It's all part of the Golus. It is what it is. To add more keynotes about the Holocaust, I guess you have to. You don't have a choice. We need to be woken up. We need to be woken up in our generation, especially we live in a world of Holocaust denial and people forgetting. These are all good things. But it is something very interesting where we have become very lax in following a very rigid and strict Messiah. Normally, when it comes to things like this, if a person deviates one dot, you get shut down. You go to a shul, and I know my brother, he told me, I don't know this, my brother told me he went to daven in a place, and they asked him daven Kabbalah Shabbos. And the Gabbai was very concerned. He asked, tell me, how are you going to do Mogin Avos? How are you going to sing? This is what he asked him. Are you going to do it like they do it in Young Israel, or are you going to do it the Yeshiva Shuway? So I didn't even know. I did not even know there are two ways to do it. I only know the Young Israel way. Mogin Avos, Bidvaroi, Mechayim Esim, Mimamaro, Okel Lakadosh, En Kamo. Hamanich Leama, Biyam Shabbos Kesha. Right, is that right? No, nothing. You're preaching to the choir. Do you know there's another way? There's the yeshivish way to do it. My brother started singing to me the way they do it in the yeshivish way. So this place, they're very nervous. They're very nervous that chas v'shalom, someone should sing it in the Young Israel nusach. Chas v'shalom, they have to sing it in the yeshivish nusach. Wow. I didn't even know there's another nusach. What do I know? You see the people, they get all worked up over narishkeit.
Right.
Over total narishkeit. They get all obsessed. You cannot deviate one iota from the Messiah. Okay, that's a good thing, I guess. Right, it's a good thing. Yet when it comes to kinois, we've deviated quite a bit. We've deviated quite a bit, and we're now looking to be machmer. Even in the circles that are very choshev, real, very strong backgrounds, there is a desire. You don't see an intense desire to perfect the kinos. I guess maybe that's all part of what we're trying to do. We're trying to get away from this. We're trying to break out of the horror and the tzara of Golus. Okay, now let me just tell you one vart before we finish today. I think this one will take one idea. I think it's a very simple idea. There are five tragedies that happened on Tisha B'Av and how it ties into the kinas. Number one, the Meraglim. What happened with the Meraglim? I have to come back to Shomer also. I have to tell you about Shomer. Why we say it twice? Number one, the Meraglim. The Meraglim came back on the night, the 8th. They spoke. They issued a slanderous report. Klal Yisrael accepted it, and on the 9th of Av, they cried a bechia shel chino. Hashem said, "You're crying for nothing. I'll give you what to cry about." That's tragedy number one. Tragedy number two, Churban Bayis Rishon. Tragedy number three, Churban Bayis Sheni. Tragedy number three, Beitar, Nilkida Beitar. Beitar was destroyed. And with that was the death of Bar Kochva. And with that came the Asura Harugei Malchus. And tragedy number five was the plowing Ternufis Rupus. How do you pronounce his name? Ternopis Rupus. He plowed over the Har HaBayis. He went to the Har HaBayis. The Bayis was in ruins, and he went Tzion Soda Sode Sechoresh. Pasuk in Micha, Tzion was plowed over. It was made into a field. If you notice, the Seder of Kinois, by and large, follows the five tragedies. Okay, on the night of Tisha B'Av, what do you say? Bilel Zeh. Bilel Zeh, that's the main kina. Bilel Zeh Yiv Koyun V'yelilu Vanai. The whole motif is the words Bilel Zeh. We talk about the mazolas. When do you see the mazolas in the sky? Okay, the next key we're not going to do now. The key is when do you see the mazolas? At night. Okay, the kina number five is an elaboration on the 12 mazolas. At night, the kinois are all reflecting. And then echa. When do you lay echa at night? Echa, the end of echa. What are the kinois that we recite on the night of Tisha B'Av? They all focus on the first tragedy. The tragedy of the Bechia Shel Chinam of Klal Yisrael on the night of Tisha B'Av. They all take us back to the first tragedy. Come the morning, the kinois, they segue, if you pay close attention, between the Chorban of the Bayis Rishon to the Chorban Bayis Sheni. Now there are references here and there, that it's not a perfect order, and I told you the order is anyways, all this is not correct anyway, but you see in the beginning of the morning, we focus primarily on the Chorban Bayis Rishon. And the motifs, we have to go look at the kinis more carefully. Then as you move through, then you come to Titois. You come to Zuchor Asha Osa Tsar Bifinim. Sholaf Charboi Ubal Lefnai V'Lefnim. Then you come to the Chorban Bayis Sheni. As you move through Kinois, you start, the beginning of Kinois is the Chorban Bayis Rishon. And as you move along, we are going to different examples, you come to Chorban Bayis Sheni. Then we focus on Beitar. Now, what is the Chorban of Beitar? After prayer, Beitar is Chorban post Chorban. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there was a Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. There was Beitar. The Sanhedrin was Gola for one, it was Rabbi Akiva. 52 years after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, they were on the verge of bringing Mashiach. Bar Kokhva had potential to be Mashiach. Where were they? They were in Rome? They weren't in Rome. They were in Eretz Yisrael. They had autonomy. They minted their own coins. They were the resistance, and it was an aim the year be Yisrael. There was momentum. And then what happened? Chorban. All of the other things that we met, many of the kinos and Tisha B'Av focus on tragedy post Chorban bias, which is all nichlal in Haruge Beitar. The fourth tragedy of Tisha B'Av is Haruge Beitar. Haruge Beitar is not just Beitar. Haruge Beitar is tragedy that came to Klal Yisrael after the Chorban Bayis Sheni, which includes the First Crusade, which include, there are four kinas in the First Crusade, which includes Srefa Sator, and includes Asaru Gemalchus, that's post-Chorban, and includes the Benu Bas Rabbi Yishmael. These are all tragedies that are all in the category of tragedy number four of Haruge Beta. And what's the last part of Kinois? Tzion, nine Tzions. What are they all about? Tzion Sode Sechorish. The last tragedy of Tisha B'Av is the Har HaBayis was plowed over. The beautiful, the Zecher of what we once had was wiped away. Until Ternufis Roipis plowed over the mountain, the Temple Mount, you remembered, you had a Zecher of at least what we once had. When he plowed it over, he wanted to wipe out the whole Zecher. We have to restore that Zecher by focusing on the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. The nine kinois of Tzion all describe the mailois of Eretz Yisrael. We're undoing the Tzion Sodeh Sechoresh. And that's the end of the kinois. So what do we really have? The kinois are all, the seder of the 45 kinois are all the five tragedies of Tisha B'Av. The first tragedy was a Bechia Shalchina. That's the theme of Leil Tisha B'Av. The kinos, the first five kinos. The second tragedy of the Churban Bayis Rishon, that's the theme of the next section of kinos when we begin in the morning. And then we segue into the Churban Bayis Sheni. And then we have a chunk of kinos focusing on the concept of Beitar. Beitar is not just Beitar was destroyed. Beitar represents tragedy that came to Klal Yisrael after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which includes, of course, Beitar, includes the Hasarug Yemalchus, the Ben Abbas Rabbi Shmuel, the First Crusade, Shreifas HaTorah, V'chol HaMilchamot Molof. And then we come to the fifth tragedy, Tzion Tzodeh Sechoresh. The tragedy that we don't have a zecher of what we once had. We have to undo that with the tzions. Okay, now to conclude right now, why do we say shonim twice? And this is a big topic, but just to tell you in 30 seconds or so, this is a very big question which I'm searching for a really good answer. And I'm not just me. A lot of Mepharshim, they talk about this, and they're very disturbed. They're very, very disturbed about this question. Klal Yisrael was split into two parts. Was split into the Malchus of Yisrael and the Malchus of Yehuda. Yerovam ben Nevat, he split Klal Yisrael into two. The Aseres HaShvatim went into Golos about 130 years, it's a long time, before the Churban Bayis, before. Four of the five tragedies that we dwell upon are not Nogea, they're not relevant to the Aseres HaShvatim. They're already gone. The Churban Bayis Rishon, the Churban Bayis Sheni, Beitar, Tzion Tzad Sechoresh, they have nothing to do with this. They're long gone. Who is Tisha B'Av for? Let's say you can find the person today who'll go online, go take a test, a blood test, and they'll trace his lineage. This fellow is from Shevet Naphtali. Ben Achar Ben. Mother also. You prove to me scientifically this fellow, he's living in Argentina, he's a Ben Achar Ben from Naphtali Ben Yaakov. Does he have to observe Tisha B'Av? Is it Nogeh him? Is it Nogeh the Aseres HaShvatim Tisha B'Av? Who is Tisha B'Av relevant for? Yehuda and Binyamin. Yehuda and Binyamin experienced Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. They experienced Beitar. They experienced Sion, Sol, Sechoresh. The Aseres HaShvatim, they're gone. They're long gone. You'll tell me they're living on the other side of Sambatyoin. They found the river. They're on the other side of Sambatyoin. Good for you. Fine, good for you. You're living in Australia, so you're living in New Zealand, in Greenland, wherever you may find yourself. Good for you. It's not Nogea. It's not Nogea you. Who is Tisha B'Av? Who has to observe Tisha B'Av? They were already dismissed. They got their Churban long ago. So I want to suggest to you, that's why we say Shomrim twice. What is Shomrim? We can't do it out of time, but Shomrim is a conversation. It's a conversation between Oholah and Oholiva. Who is Oholah? Her tent. The opposition. The rebellion. The Aseres HaShvatim. You made for yourself your own Beis HaMikdash, Beis El and Don, good for you. Ohaliva, Ohol Shali, Yehuda and Binyamin. Having a conversation. Who suffered more? Ohalah says, I suffered more because I was permanently banned from the land. You came back. You stuck around another 130 years and then you came back to the Bayis Sheni. You came back. Ohaliva says, it wasn't worth coming back. it was, I already forgot what it says. Ohaliva says, my suffering was much worse. You were exiled, no? So you were exiled, you were sent away to live in another land. Wherever they are, I don't know if they exist, they don't, it's the Machlis de Gemara. We were tortured. Tortured. Our suffering was worse. The whoever was Masader the Kinois, he deliberately selected Shomrim to tell us there are two partners in this suffering. There is Oholah and Oholiva. At night, we recite Shomrim. You know why we recite Shomrim at night? In honor of Oholah. By day, we repeat it. Because by day we focus on Ohaliva. We read, this is one of the only kina that really brings out the two parts of Klal Yisrael that have been split. One, we don't know what happened to the Aseres HaShvatim. Yermi brought them back, didn't bring them back. They're on other side, Sambatya, you know, you can dash on the whole day. What happened to them? But one thing is for sure. There were two Churbanos. There was a Churban for the Aseres HaShvatim, and there was a Churban for Yehuda and Binyamin. And we're all part of one big happy family. There are two Churbanos. And the Churban for Ohalah is not the same Churban for Ohaliva. But we're interrelated. It's like Chatzi Shevet Menashe. You have on this side, Chatzi Shevet, half is going to be on one side of the Yarden, and the other Chatzi Shevet is the other side in order to bring them together. At night, we take Shomron and we read it twice, at night and by day. At night, we reflect upon Ohalah. By day, we reflect upon Ohaliva, and to remind us, we're still connected. Even though the Churban primarily is for Yehuda and Binyamin, and not for the Aseres HaShvatim, but we still have to keep that connection together. Okay, we will continue tomorrow. Okay.
There is also the art side of the procedure.